Friends, you are Eli's and you are Samuel's. And so today I want to invite you to help me read our scripture. I know this is going to be confusing, so bear with me. If you're on the pulpit side, choir, you get to decide what side you're on. I invite you to read Samuel's words aloud, which are in bold. If you are on the lectern side, I would love for you to read Eli's words, which are in italics in your bulletin. So let us listen and speak the word of the Lord. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is probably one of the most familiar of all of the Samuel stories, his call story. But before we get too far ahead, let's review. Hannah is Samuel's mother, and she was barren. She prays to God for God to give her a son. She bargains with God and promises if God gives her a child, she will give her son to the service of the temple. While she's praying, she meets an old priest, Eli, and he assumes that she's drunk. Maybe it was because Eli's eyesight was growing dim. Nevertheless, Hannah shares with Eli her struggles and prayers, and Eli tells her God will answer her prayer. And God does. Hannah has a child, Samuel, and she brings him to be raised in the temple. While all of this is happening, Eli's own two sons are ruining the priesthood. Eli's sons do what is right in their own eyes, but not in the eyes of God. They are taking advantage of the vulnerable, and God does not like that one bit. God is frustrated and angry with both of them and for Eli for not standing up to his sons. God decides to turn this family priestly, family lineage thing upside down. God is doing something new, calling a kid like Samuel with no credentials. Symbolism matters in Scripture, and it's no different in this story. Did you notice the images of light and darkness? This story happens at night in the dark. Eli's vision is growing dim. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. There was still some light. The light shines in the dark. And indeed, Israel is going through a dark time. Visions were not widespread. I wonder what that actually means. Did that mean that God was not revealing God's self? Or were the people unable to see God's visions and hear God's voice? As much as God might try, sometimes we can tune out the miracles right in front of us. It certainly takes Samuel a few tries to finally realize that God is talking to him. But there God is, calling. God is awake. Samuel is the one who is asleep. God calls, shakes Samuel out of his slumber. Today it can still feel like we are living in the dark. Life is chaotic and it can feel like we move from one crisis to another. Even when things are seemingly good, that does not mean that things are easy. Exhaustion can dull us, making us fall asleep so much that we sleepwalk even when we are awake. We live life in a slumber, moving from task to task. We long to see and hear God's voice. But do we not hear God calling because we are living in a fog? Or at least we live in the dark to the divinity around. God, though, is persistent. It's humorous how persistent God is. Samuel's name means God has heard. We just heard that in our children's sermon. And Eli's name means my God. God has heard what is going on, and God calls. The irony is Samuel does not hear God. He keeps thinking it is Eli, my God, is calling him. How strange that Samuel wouldn't expect God to appear in the temple of all places. And yet, do we really expect for God to speak to us, even when we sit in the pews of the church? I'm pretty sure if we heard God's voice came booming down, calling us right now, we would be pretty surprised too. We might even wonder if someone was playing a joke on us. Over and over, three times, God calls. Samuel keeps going to Eli. Here I am. I find it fascinating that God's voice in this story sounds like the voice of a mentor. God's voice is mistaken for the old priest Eli. I wonder how often we hear God's voice and just assume it's a friend, a colleague, a mentor calling. Eli's vision may be growing dim, but after the third time, Eli recognizes that Samuel is hearing God's voice calling in the night. Eli at this moment has a lot to lose. Samuel is going to force Eli into retirement. Eli's job is on the line. But not just his job, but his son's priestly inheritance is on the line too. It could have been easy for Eli to misdirect Samuel, to refuse to help Samuel understand that God was speaking to him. But Eli is full of insight and goodness. He trusts God. Let God do what is good to God. Even when God's word is bad news for Eli, Eli trusts that God has a plan and that God's plan is the right one, not his own. I love this story because it isn't as simple and straightforward as we might think. I took out four verses that do matter. God's vision isn't just one of good news. It's also a vision of hard news, especially for Eli and his family. Eli's sons have not done what is right and or just in the sight of the Lord. And so God is going to punish Eli's house forever. God has already told Eli this. Eli knows what is coming, and yet this is difficult news. Samuel's first prophetic vision is a story of calling, of being chosen, but it is also one where he learns he is replacing Eli, his mentor, and that Eli and his family will soon be punished and rejected. After that news, Samuel can't sleep. He lays there until morning, burdened with this news. In the morning, Eli calls, and Samuel dutifully answers. Eli asks Samuel what God has said to him, and this child responds by telling Eli the difficult truth. God's calling often involves changing systems that are broken, and this work is often hard. For when we change systems, we have to speak the truth. And these truths aren't always easy to swallow. You might be wondering why in the world I asked you to help me read this story. Why did I have one group read Samuel's words and another Eli's? Because I think for this story to work, for God to work in the world, we need both Eli's and Samuel's. We need mentors who can discern and hear the voice of God for us, to give us to the words to respond with. We need teachers who have so much faith that they trust in God's goodness and plan, even when it turns their world upside down. And we need Samuel's young and experienced protégés who can hear God's voice, who push the church to see beyond the tradition, who keep hearing God's call and responding faithfully. Within each one of us, I think there's a bit of both Samuel and Eli. God is calling us over and over by name. For God is with us all the time. And often in our exhaustion, we can miss it. We can sleep right through it. We need Eli's in our lives to discern with us, to help us respond to God and wake up. And as Eli's, we need Samuel's to listen and share God's word for us, even when it's tough. If it wasn't for the Eli's and Samuel's in my own life, I might still be asleep. It has taken swim coaches, teachers, employers, friends, mentors, students, youth, and so many more to help me hear God's voice. This week, over and over, I've met Eli's and Samuel's. I met Samuel's in Bible study on Wednesday as we read Mark's gospel together. They kept hearing the words, listen and hear, be attentive to God's word. And I kept thinking, what is God up to? Their proclamation helped me to slow down and try to listen deeply this week. I met an Eli in the hospital during a visit. Eli kept saying to me, even as sick as she was, God has been with me. God has never left my side through this whole ordeal. Her reminder helped me to remember that God was with me too. I met Eli at lunch with a group of female pastors sharing the struggles of life and praying for each other. I just met Eli's and Samuel's at 9 o'clock. With our mentors and confirmands as they begin their journey together, listening and discerning God's voice in community. In this text, the old and the young collaborate to hear God's vision for a new Israel, for a new hope, for justice to reign. May it be the same for us. May we collaborate, listening and speaking, sharing God's hope, justice, and peace, and reminding one another that God is near. God is calling. Listen. Amen.